Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thursday, glasses in session, and we're joined by Manny Navarro, The Athletic, talking Miami Hurricanes football. Give Manny a follow on X at Manny_Navarro. And Manny, as you know, it's been a busy offseason there in Coral Gables. Yes. They get Carson Beck in the offseason, who's had an up and down offseason so far there for Miami, but a lot of excitement. He's coming off of the injury. How do you expect him to fit into the Shannon Dawson offense that was so great last year with Cam Ward?
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to put up the same numbers Cam Ward did. Miami was so strong at the receiver position with Xavier Restrepo and Jacoby George and guys that have been in a veteran system. He's got some young receivers now, talented guys, but guys that are sort of unproven. But his offensive line is super experienced, probably one of the best in the country. He's got two really good backs behind him, and Mark Fletcher and Jordan Lyle. So I expect more balance in this offense. Shannon Dawson obviously loves to throw the football. He always has. But I think at the same time, he's looking for whatever it is that works and puts up points. So Beck statistically probably won't come close to matching what Cam Ward did. But I still think this is a very good offense. I think this is a top 25 offense. They were number one in college football last year in scoring. I can see them averaging closer to 35, 34 points a game, running the ball, being a little bit more ball controlled. And with a really good defense, improving defense, I think this could be a really good team.
You mentioned they have to replace a lot of production at a wide receiver. Who would be a guy or two that people should keep their eye on here for Miami? Who do you think could be Beck's favorite targets during the season?
Yeah, one guy who's sort of an X factor to me in this offense is Elijah Lofton. He's a sophomore tight end who, in a lot of ways, is going to line up all over the field. You'll see him in the backfield. You'll see him catching balls out in the receiver slot. You'll see him lined up next to the offensive line in the tight end slot. He is going to be all over the field, sort of a do-it-all weapon. In a lot of ways, like Tyler Warren was, I think, for Penn State last year. I think he will be a guy who probably leads the team in touchdowns. In terms of receptions, I think you've either got JoJo Trader, who is the sophomore receiver, former top 50 recruit, or I think somebody like a Keelan Marion from BYU, who is play threat down the field. Those are the kind of guys that will lead the team in catches and yards. I think ultimately, though, Elijah Lofton will be the one everybody's talking about at the end of the season.
Now, you mentioned it, Manny, that offense last year with Cam Ward was just so good. I mean, they were one of the best, if not the best, in college football. The defense obviously hurt them, though, in a bunch of those games. So that's the main focus this season. They bring in a new coordinator. They retool, go into the portal. What do you expect the defense to look like for Miami, and what were the positions that they really tried to key in on this offseason?
Yeah, they hit the transfer portal really, really hard. They brought in six defensive backs between the winter and spring period. They've got one guy back who was a freshman All-American in O.J. Frederick, who did a fabulous job, started 9 games for them. He was their best cornerback in my mind last year, so he's back. But everybody else is brand new. Ethan O'Connor started 12 games at Washington State last year. He'll probably be another guy who's heavily involved there. The special guy is Xavier Lucas, who Miami plucked away from Wisconsin. Johnson in the portal. Lucas is a guy that is 6'2", runs more than 22 miles an hour. He's got long arms. He's physical. I mean, Wisconsin was really upset that they lost him, and I think he's a guy that you look at and you say, man, they've probably got two or three, maybe even four legitimate quality guys at the cornerback position. And then at safety, Zach Polzer, who was all-freshman conference USA selection at Jacksonville State last year, 77 tackles, three picks. He's going to be the guy with the green dot in his helmet for Corey Heatherman, the new defensive coordinator. So their secondary has been completely revamped, and I just think it's going to be a much improved unit.
We're talking Miami Hurricanes with Manny Navarro, The Athletic. Give Manny a follow on X at Manny_Navarro. Manny, let's talk about this schedule, man. Last year, they had a big-time game right out of the jump against Florida in the Swamp. They looked great. This year, another big-time game out of the jump. That week one matchup against Notre Dame, who was obviously in the title game last season. What do you expect in that week one game against the Irish? And do you think that Miami can use some of that preparation, getting ready for that big game against the Gators, that they can use getting ready for this game to kick off the year?
Absolutely. And I think you just look at the quarterback position in this game. CJ Carr is super, super talented. I expect him to be really good at Notre Dame. But this is going to be his first start, right? On the road in South Florida. We remember the last time Miami and Notre Dame played here in South Florida in 2017. That was a team that was just as talented as this Notre Dame team. And Miami just absolutely lit them up. I expect the environment to be electric. I think Miami's defense is much improved. So I look at this opener and I say, yes, Notre Dame right now might be the favorite on paper because they played in the national championship game and they still got a very, very good team. But I think being at home in the opener, last year Miami had to go on the road at Gainesville, but Cam Ward was cool as a cucumber. I think Carson Beck, being the experienced guy who's won an SEC championship, played at Georgia, played in a lot of big games, I think that's going to be the difference in this game.
Yeah, and a reminder, that game's on Sunday, of course, because no NFL yet. That's the Sunday night football game in the week one slate for college football. Manny, looking at the rest of this schedule, we were talking a little bit about it before you hopped on, man. This is one of the crazier schedules I've ever seen. Miami has a stretch where they have two bye weeks in 3 weeks. They have Florida State sandwiched in the middle of that. And then they don't leave the state of Florida until they play SMU on November 1st. So it's all games at home. It's bye weeks. It's at Florida State. So they could do a lot of damage early on in that season. And then it does pick up kind of second half. They have some tough road trips to Virginia Tech and Pitt, which could obviously be some cold weather games later on in the season. But man, you look at this schedule and like, what are the main takeaways for you when you kind of break down the Canes schedule?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you get the two big national games early on against Notre Dame at FSU. Florida at home. Then you get that FSU game. Florida State still trying to pick up the pieces after last year's disaster. So that's a game you should win. I look at it as, you know, Louisville SMU right there in the middle. You got a Friday night game against Louisville. You got that trip out to Dallas November 1st against SMU. To me, that's what the season comes down to because Clemson is a prohibitive favorite to win the ACC for a reason. But I think Miami is the second best team on paper in terms of talent, in terms of continuity on the offensive side of the ball with many of the guys that they're bringing back, especially on the line. So I think the season comes down to, do you beat Louisville and SMU? And then are you still healthy enough when you get to Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh where you don't blow it? Last year, Miami was 9-0. They lost two of their last three at Georgia Tech and at Syracuse. Those are going to be cold weather games. It'll come down to that. Can you finish the job? I expect this Miami team to be better on defense. I think that's why they will finish the job.
It's such a big talking point, Manny, as you know, when we talk about the NFL team in Miami with the Dolphins and how they struggle in cold weather. Is that a concern with you at all with this Canes team? You talked about how great the offensive line is. Do you think they're equipped to play in that colder weather?
I do, because I think they're going to be really good at running the football. People forget, because of how good Cam Ward was last season, that Miami led the ACC in rushing in terms of yards per carry. Damian Martinez was super effective, ran for over 1,000 yards. Mark Fletcher, who was basically the number two behind him, was highly effective. Whenever Jordan Lyle got in the game, he was able to hit the home run ball. And let's not forget, Miami went into the portal and picked up Chamar Brown, who was a freshman All-American last year at North Dakota State. He's used to playing in the cold. So you've got three guys that can carry the rock behind that massive offensive line. That's going to be winning time. You know, Mario Cristobal, he loves to run the football. I could see Miami, even if the receivers don't pan out to be as good as you hoped, even if you don't have an Xavier Restrepo, I think there's enough weapons on offense where you can run the football, you can be better on defense, you can pull it out, and you can finish a strong season.
Manny, looking at this win total at BetMGM, they're setting it at 9.5 for the Canes. To go over is plus 130. So they're expecting about a 9-3 season for Miami, which I think about feels right. What's your prediction for the Canes' win-loss record? Do you think this is a team that can win the ACC, go to the college football playoff? What's your outlook for the season?
Yeah, I think we're going to be right there where they were a year ago, which is on the bubble. I think the Notre Dame game is going to say a lot about whether or not they get in the college football playoff. I think if they win that game, I think Miami probably finishes 10-2, gets the ACC championship game, and then it's just a matter of how is everybody else doing in college football? Where is Alabama? Where are the other SEC teams that are you know, maybe third or fourth in the pecking order in that league? Where are those Big Ten teams, and what are they 10-2 or 9-3 kind of knocking on the door? So I think Miami will be right there. I think this is going to be a 10-win team. I would take the over in terms of the overall win-loss record, because those two tough home games against Notre Dame and Florida are at home early in the season. And again, young quarterbacks, DJ Lagway is coming off an injury, right? He's not fully healthy. I think for those reasons, I would pick Miami to win those games.
Love it. Manny, real quick before we let you go, obviously got to watch Cam Ward every game last season, number one overall pick, going to start his NFL career with the Titans. How do you expect him to be as a pro?
I think he's going to be phenomenal. I think the Titans, unfortunately, maybe don't have a team around him yet. They'll need a few more drafts maybe to put some weapons around him. But I think I look at Cam Ward, and I look at a guy who has the potential to be a Pat Mahomes, where he makes these street yard type of plays where you're just, he's so comfortable with dealing with pressure, escaping the pressure, making plays on the run. He's got a gift. And really, when you look at the best quarterbacks in the NFL these days, all of them could do it. You know, the NFL MVP up there in Buffalo, what is he known for, right? Does the same stuff. I think Cam Ward is electric in that way. And really, more than anything else, just the leadership quality, right? Which is what so many of these GMs are looking for, somebody who can come in and transform the locker room. He's got it. I think he's a special quarterback.
Love it. Great stuff, as always. Manny Navarro, kind enough to join us at The Athletic, talking Miami Hurricanes football. Make sure you guys are following Manny on X, at Manny_Navarro. Manny, always great catching up with you, man. Know you're busy. Appreciate the time. Have a great season, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Talk soon, guys. Take care.
All right, great stuff there from Manny Navarro as we continue our previews here on Send It In, looking at the Miami Hurricanes. And guys, we were talking about it with Manny. You might not see a crazier schedule in all of college football this season than what Miami has. Just from a bye standpoint alone, I have never seen anything like this where a team is two bye weeks in a three-week span. Personally, if I was a player, a coach from Miami, I would absolutely hate this. That's kind of brutal. But then an interesting kind of scheduling nugget that they have as well, they don't leave the state of Florida until November 1st, right? They play one road game, and it's at Florida State. So very kind of unique schedule that Miami has with the byes, with who they play. And then those final two road games of the year, obviously a team from South Florida going to Blacksburg, Virginia, going to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, places where it's not warm late November, something that they'll have to deal with. I thought Manny brought up a great point. So much we talk about that with the Dolphins and how they fare in cold weather games in December and January in cold weather cities. But this Miami team, I think they are built for it. They can play in the cold because their offensive line is going to be really good. They have good running backs as well. And Cristobal, like, he builds his teams in the trenches. So it's certainly going to be an adjustment. It's, you know, when you're practicing and you're going to class every day and you're living in South Florida and it's beautiful weather, and then you get to get off the bus, you got to get off the plane, and you got to play tackle football in, you know, 10-degree, 15-degree weather. There's some snow maybe. That's certainly going to be an adjustment. So really, really interesting schedule for Miami. As I mentioned with Manny, the win total is 9.5 for the Hurricanes this season. The over is plus 130, and you got to lay minus 155 if you want to take the under. I certainly don't want to take the over. with the Canes, but I don't want to bet the under either at minus 155. I do agree with Manny. Clemson, we know, the big favorite in the ACC, the most talented team in this conference. From a talent standpoint, Miami definitely should be number two, and they should be the clear second favorites at 4-1. Schedule's no joke, man. Notre Dame to open up the season, that's going to be a real good barometer game for Mario Cristobal and his program. What's interesting about that week one game is both Notre Dame and Miami had big games to kick off the season last year, right? Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame went to College Station to take on A&M, and then Mario Cristobal and Miami played Florida in the Swamp. So both of those teams, those coaches, have experience opening up the season and playing big-time matchups right off the jump. I do think Notre Dame's team is a little bit better. We know Miami doesn't have the greatest home field advantage. There are going to be plenty of Notre Dame fans there in Miami. So I still like Notre Dame in that game. The Florida game in week four is going to be a really, really good one too. You would think Miami is probably going to split one of those two games. They're probably not going to win both, and they're probably not going to lose both of those games either. They're probably good for a split in both of those games as well. Got to win the Florida State game, especially if you're betting that over win total. That's a massive game that they need to take care of. And then, as Manny mentioned, if you're betting them in the ACC futures market, their schedule, their season really comes down to Louisville and SMU. Because while the Florida and Notre Dame games are important from a national championship playoff standpoint, does nothing towards the ACC. The ACC games are going to be Louisville and SMU because they don't play Clemson, which is nice for them, but they got to take care of the Cardinals and SMU in those games. And the fact that SMU is going to be their first road game of the season, the second road game of the season, but the first time they travel out of the state of Florida, that could be a little troublesome for Miami in that matchup. Taking on Louisville on a Friday night, that's going to be an interesting game. Jeff Brohm is great as an underdog. Cardinals are going to give him a handful in that game. And then, man, those two road games to end the season, Virginia Tech and Pitt. Obviously, none of us know what the weather is going to look like in that game, but you would have to assume it's going to be cold, probably going to be some snow in one of those games. It's going to be difficult, and that's what Mario Cristobal teams historically do. They start fast, but man, to end the season, they kind of fall off a little bit. We saw that again last year with that team that went 9-0, lost two of their final three. So that is the big concern for Miami. I just can't trust Cristobal in any kind of big futures bet. His teams are always talented. They always have NFL talent. They're always more than capable. But time and time again, they just fall short, and I worry about this team as well. A lot of moving parts. This team reminds me a lot of Jaden Daniels' LSU team from a couple years ago. You have a top NFL quarterback, Heisman candidate, unbelievable season, a defense that's historically bad. And then next year, the offense takes a little bit of a dip. They're still good. Defense gets better, but they didn't quite close the gap enough for them to compete and make the playoff. I think that's what's going to happen again with Miami. They'll be better on defense. They'll suffer a little bit on offense. Don't think this is going to be a playoff team, though, so no futures bets for me when it comes to Miami. What about the Cincinnati Bengals, though? Let's dive into them here on Send It In. Bengals are a very interesting team for the upcoming season, right? Obviously, Joe Burrow has been to a Super Bowl in his career, but they have struggled the last couple years, and this defense still is not figured out. It feels like for Cincinnati, they did nothing in the offseason to really improve it. I think there are two ways that you can look at Cincinnati. The first way is, I think, how a lot of people are viewing the Bengals this season. You just look at the fact that the offense is pretty much back. They paid Ja'Marr Chase. They paid T. Higgins. They gave Joe Burrow his money, paid all these guys, and did nothing on the defense. So a lot of people are looking at it as, well, if the offense is the exact same, the defense is kind of the same, and you might be losing Trey Hendrickson, and this team missed the playoffs a year ago. How are the Bengals getting into the playoffs, right? If the Steelers maybe got better, if the Broncos got better, if the these teams that made the playoffs all got better, and the Bengals got worse on the side of the ball where they were one of the worst in the NFL, how are they now going to jump the other teams and make the playoffs? That's one way to look at the Bengals, which I think a lot of people are looking at them. I'm looking at them, though, in the other way when I'm viewing Cincinnati, where Yeah, they have a terrible defense, one of the top offenses in the NFL, but think about all the coin flip games that Cincinnati lost last season that they very easily could have won, and their season could have gone very differently. All started in week one with New England, right? 8.5-point favorites. Just about everybody had the Bengals in their survivor pool in that game. They lose. Gesicki fumbles at the goal line, kind of flips that game on its head. We know the Bengals are notoriously slow starters in the Burrow, Zach Taylor era, and they get off to a bad start. They lose the game to a Patriots that they definitely should have won. Week two against the Chiefs, do we all remember that pass interference call on 4th and 18? Bengals were up in that game. They were leading just about the entire fourth quarter, and then the Chiefs get that PI call. Bengals end up losing that game. Both games to the Ravens this season, this past season, they should have won. The game in Cincinnati, they were up by 10 with like 6 minutes to go. Find a way to lose that game. The game in Baltimore, they're up 21-7. Find a way to lose that game. They're up 21-7 in the second half and find a way to lose. Definitely could have won one of, if not both of those games. And then the Sunday night game against the Chargers as well. McPherson misses a couple of big field goals. Chargers end up capitalizing and win that game. When you look at the Bengals' schedule last season, they really beat every team that they were supposed to beat. All of their losses were to playoff teams outside of the Patriots. So the Bengals, I don't think, had that bad of a season as everybody really thinks they did. But because of all the expectations around Cincinnati, with having one of the best quarterbacks in the league, maybe the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver in the league, and because of how abysmal that defense was, I really think maybe Cincinnati's kind of undervalued going into this season. And just the way that football works, like, usually if you're on the right side of having some fortunate luck in the NFL season 1 year, that tends to regress the other year. And if you have some unfortunate luck 1 year, the ball tends to bounce your way a little bit better the next year. So I get it with Cincinnati. They did really nothing to improve their defense. They brought in a new defensive coordinator in Al Golden. They might not even have Trey Hendrickson out there this season either. But I think that their offense is still so elite, and they found ways to lose games last year that they really should not have lost, that I think that the Bengals could be a 10 or 11 win team this season. It feels like a lot of people are down on Cincinnati. When you really go through that schedule of last year, they easily could have been a 10 or an 11 win team. And look, the schedule is difficult this year, no doubt about it. Sean, throw up the schedule real quick for Cincinnati. These AFC North schedules are all tough. You obviously have to play the Ravens and the Steelers twice a year. They have that portion of the schedule where it's Ravens at the Ravens on Thanksgiving night, at the Bills, and then the Ravens again, which is going to be tough. I mean, they have a stretch early in the season at the Vikings, at the Broncos, Lions, Packers, Steelers. That won't be easy as well. So there are sections of their schedule which aren't easy by any stretch. Talked about it yesterday, though. The Ravens, big favorites to win that division at minus 180, and Cincinnati is plus 280. We're getting ready to talk about the NFL preseason here in a little bit. Burrow's playing the first quarter of the game tonight. They are making it a point to start the season fast this season. If the Bengals get out of the gate and start the season 2-0, which they absolutely could, and if the Ravens start the season 1-1, they have the Lions and the Chiefs lurking, there's a chance that plus 280 price on the Bengals is going to be looking pretty good early on in the season. Might get an opportunity to hedge with the Ravens later on in the year. So I kind of see some value in betting the Bengals to win this division, because I think getting that number early is going to be good closing line value, and you might have a chance potentially to get a Ravens price in your pocket as well. Remember, since this AFC North was formed with these four teams back in 2002, no team has won this division three straight times. That's what the Ravens are trying to accomplish. It's not going to be easy. Whether it's the Steelers or the Bengals that makes that tough on them, I tend to think it's going to be the Bengals. So keep an eye out for Cincinnati having a good season. I think so many people are down on this team because they did nothing to improve their defense, but their record could have been a lot better than what it was last year, with more of an emphasis to start the season fast this year. I do like the Bengals. I think they're going to be a playoff team for next season. All right, let's talk some golf. We got two balls that are either underway right now or getting ready to tee off at the FedEx St. Jude Championship down in Memphis. Right now, Akshay Bhatia, your leader, at 8-under par, shot a 62 today, had a really good round. Matt Fitzpatrick, who he gave out to win, finishing the top 10, had a nice day. He's currently tied for fourth after shooting a 67, 3-under. Ludvig Åberg and Bobby McIntyre out on the course. They teed off about 8 minutes ago. I like Ludvig in that two ball. You guys know Ludvig, man, one of the best in the first round. It feels like this is a golf course that really sets up well for him. We had Nick Henyon on earlier this week who really liked Ludvig. I think he's going to play well today. Bobby Mack, this is a course that should fit him pretty well, but Ludvig, the more consistent, better ball striker, and I love betting him on Thursdays and Fridays and just watching him fade over the weekend. So I like Ludvig minus 135. Like Corey Connors and his two ball against Andrew Novak, they're getting ready to go off in about a minute. Connors is minus 150. All about ball strikers this week. You're not going to find many ball strikers better than Corey Connors. The real weakness in his game is his chipping. And as we've talked about, really don't need to have a great short game this week out in Memphis. So I like Corey Connors in that two ball today. JJ Spahn and Tommy Fleetwood, two guys that I really like this week. Obviously like Tommy to finish in the top 20 and in the top 10. But I like the price on JJ Spahn at plus 115 just for today. Spahn obviously having a terrific year. He's had a terrific year as a ball striker, and that's what we need this week. I think JJ Spahn, a guy who's not a lot of people is talking about this week, could contend. I think that starts today. Normally a great first round leader bet. When he plays well at an event, normally plays well in the first round. So give me JJ Spahn plus 115 in that two ball. Scottie Scheffler minus 250 against our guy this week, Sepp Straka at plus 220. Look, I know it's terrifying betting against Scotty, but for one day, maybe Sepp Straka can beat him. You're getting a nice price at plus 220. Scotty's Mr. Consistency, as we know. He's probably going to go out today and shoot a 2-under, 3-under. Can Sepp get us to 4 or 5-under? I think that he can. Potentially, give me Sepp at plus 220. Chris Kirk, minus 145 against Tony Finau. Chris Kirk's playing some good golf. He's not the longest hitter on tour, but he's a very good ball striker. He's very accurate, keeps the ball in the fairway, puts it a lot of green regulations. I like Chris Kirk at minus 145. And then finally, give me Emiliano Grillo at minus 105 against Kevin Yu. Very accurate golfer as well. We'll go with Grillo in his two ball. All right, let's talk a little NFL preseason here on Send It In. We got three games on the slate today. We'll start with the Colts and the Ravens. Indy is a 6.5-point favorite in Baltimore tonight with a total of 36.5. Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson both going to play about a quarter and a half tonight as they're reporting. So you're going to see both of those guys. Obviously, the Colts are trying to find out who's going to be QB1 for their team. That's why they're such big favorites in this game. But as most of you know, the Ravens dominate the preseason under John Harbaugh. And Cooper Rush is going to be playing a majority of the game for them. We know Cooper Rush has played plenty of games with the Cowboys in the NFL. So it's not like the Ravens have a slouch playing quarterback for them. They're so good in the preseason. They're at home. They have a talented roster. And I get Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson are going to be playing, but there's a reason that there's a QB competition because both of those guys suck. So give me the Ravens at plus 6.5 against the Colts. We also got the Bengals and the Eagles tonight. Cincinnati is also a 6.5-point favorite in this game. I'm going to lay it with the Bengals tonight. As I mentioned, Burrow and the starter is going to be playing the first quarter in this game against Philly. No Jalen Hurts. It's going to be Tanner McKee for a majority of the game. And then when the Bengals go to their backups, it's going to be Jake Browning and it's going to be Desmond Ridder, both guys who have had some experience in the NFL. So I think even when we get the drop-off from Burrow to the backups, the Bengals are still going to have the better backups in this game. I think the Bengals are going to take the preseason as serious as any team in the NFL because of how slow they have started seasons under Zach Taylor. So we'll take Cincinnati at minus 6.5. And then finally, give me the under tonight, under 37 in Raiders and Seahawks. Sam Darnold and Geno Smith both should start the game tonight for both of their respective teams. You got Pete Carroll going back to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, but it's two great defensive coaches with Mike McDonald and with Pete Carroll. Aiden O'Connell's going to come in and play a majority of the game. We know O'Connell stinks. And then Jalen Milroe is going to play the whole second half for Seattle. Obviously more of a running quarterback. That clock's just going to tick, 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 tick. We'll go under 37 in Seahawks and Raiders. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. An any sport, no sweat token. Get on the excitement at BetMGM with an any sport, no sweat token. If you don't win your wager, you'll get a stake back in bonus bets. Brought to you by the Sportsbook born in Vegas, BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, you guys, time for PJ's plays here on Send It In. And let's go with the guy who hurt his White Sox last night, the big dumper. We're going right back with Cal Raleigh tonight for Seattle. Guy might win AL MVP. Don't think we've taken him all year and going streaking. Let's do that tonight. Cal Raleigh is our play. J.J. Spahn and Tommy Fleetwood getting ready to tee off here in about 5 minutes, so make sure you get this one in. I do like Spahn in that two ball today against Tommy Fleetwood. Both of those guys, I think, are going to have a good week out in Memphis. Ravens, my dog of the day, +6.5. Too many points. Maybe take some money line as well. And then give me the Bengals -6.5 tonight against the Eagles. Burrow's going to play the first quarter. Browning and Ritter come in to get us the cover. Those are my plays that I like in preseason and for the day. Thanks again to Manny Navarro for joining us. Chip Brown to talk Texas tomorrow and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll see you guys then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.